Good morning or good afternoon, I guess, depending on where you are. How's everybody doing? I always tell myself I gotta check my mic, all my levels and my stuff. While I do love having this Rodecaster Pro thing, it is great. Still always trying to figure out how everything's leveled out so you guys can hear properly, if you know what I'm saying. As always, oh man, I didn't even say that right. Oh man, good morning, afternoons, you know. How's everybody doing? What's going on today? Man, I could on here, and I honestly just have a blast, talking to whoever might want to listen or doesn't. I really hope that, I don't know if this entertains anybody. However, that's why leave comments. If there's anything you want me to look up, if there's anything that you want me to talk about, or if you want to call and talk, yeah, I'd love that too. Check out my crowdfunding page. Yeah, it's just on Podbean. You can find it. You know what? I always figure that everybody's on Podbean. And I don't know. I have so much fun doing this. Anyway, today I'm going to go over, yes, of course, we got Lincoln. What's up, man? Everybody say what's up to Lincoln. I didn't think it was like that. Hey, say what's up to Lincoln. All right, everybody. Thank you. That's very kind of you all. Lincoln loves it. Thank you. So how is everybody doing? I got this, I got a couple emails today. Well, not yesterday, well, in the last couple days. I put out a thing, what is like some of the creepiest things that people have witnessed, you know, camping, or being out. National forests apparently are the, apparently, you don't want to live by a national. I've always wanted to live by a national forest. Always. Always thought it was something that I love, like being out in the woods and being a, you know. Honestly, I wish I lived further outside of the city, but I don't. But my sister got me freaked out about the whole national parks thing. Like, why? I didn't know there were so many disappearance things, all the stories. So I'm going to get right into this. Thank you all for getting on, checking out my podcast. I just started this. I have my Tanoa Bay Astronomy podcast where you get all the greatest astronomy news. Not really. I mean, I do. I love my astronomy podcast. But anyway, I've got to make some payments on the monthly stuff for that. But that will come when it, okay, anyway, so I hope everybody's doing well. Let's get right into this. So, all right, is this not a name? George. Alright. I camp solo a lot in national parks and forests. Not only is it free, but I can let my dogs run wild. Throughout my many travels, the creepiest shit always happens in these places. I haven't had any big experiences. It's always smaller, inexplicable things, from my dogs growling wildly at nothing, to finding skinned animal carcasses in the middle of nowhere, to hearing voices that I wasn't able to find. I can hardly stay in these areas anymore because I get so scared at night. I will also say the creepiest areas I've stayed while camping are the Pacific Northwest and Northern California. Now, that is very true. I lived in Seattle for four or five years, and I used to go camping out there a lot. And there's very dense forests in the Northwest. I used to go surfing. Seattle's pretty, it's not far from here. I mean, it's about a 4-hour drive. But I wish I could think of what this place where we would go surfing. You could see, it's like at when I say the Northwest point of America, I'm not, like, you could see Canada from across the water. Amazing place. I always thought, oh, thank you, Lincoln. That was sweet of you. We always love Lincoln, you know? He's just so funny. We used to go surfing, and man, there was this really, really cool place. We would crawl, you know, these people over the, I don't know, probably last, I don't know, 80 years, they built these stairways getting down to the water, the ocean. And they built this cool, like, clubhouse down there. There's a bunch of surfer dudes. Real cool. And the waves down there were just amazing. But to get down there, you had to know it, but also you had to, man, it was really, really hard to get down. But man, when we talk about the Northwest, some of the creepiest places, it's pretty dense. If you haven't been up there, the forests are amazing, beautiful. The trees are just, there's so much evergreens. It's just amazing. But getting to this particular place, man, it was really, honestly, it was really scary to get down. But we would, especially when you're carrying surfboards and all that shit on your goddamn, it was really hard. But it was really cool. But we were down there one time, and my friend looks over, and there was it was in a distance. There was like we saw this burnt tree. We were like, God, we haven't seen that since we've been coming down here. And it was just it was down the beach pretty far. And we walked, and we kind of went over this little hill, and as we got closer, it wasn't there. We were like, dude, there was a burnt looking tree right here. But anyway, there was this horrible smell, and I swear, I don't know what it was, but it seemed like from all the putting together, clues to clues, with other clues, in the clues, with more clues to find clues. It looked like, it seemed like, it really did. Like, we saw Bigfoot. I mean, it's always that, I swear. But it wasn't there anymore. And there were, it smelled horrible down there. In that area. And later that night, man, we the weirdest noise. You hear some cool noises in those woods, too. Pretty creepy. Pretty cool. I took my son down there to go surfing a couple times. And, man, he loved it. God, it freaked me out. He was kind of young then, but he's in his 20s now. But, it was a really cool place. But, man, creepy things happen in those woods. So, George, I totally understand. Sorry to go off on that. So he's saying, I was wondering, and me too, if there's anyone else that had any particularly creepy things happen to them in national parks or forests. So we're going to see what happens and who may have any cool stories for us. from Taco Skiva. Two things in one night, both involving the same friend, both involving my need to go to the bathroom. At around 10 p.m., I needed to So I left our site to use the restrooms, which were about a quarter mile away. It was pitch dark. As I was walking, I see one of my friends who was with us walk from a path leading to an unused site onto the main path. The unused site path was a good 50 yards away from our site's path. My friend has a very noticeable and peculiar gait way of walking. So I knew it was him. At multiple points, he turned around and asked, "Why are you following me?" Always a good 40 or so feet ahead of me. I would reply, "I literally told you guys I was going to the bathroom," and question, "Why did you come from a different site?" He picked up his pace and I eventually lose him in the darkness. I got to the restrooms without seeing him. Go to the bathroom, and upon returning to my site, where he of course is, I start asking why I'm being fucked with. Everyone denies my friend even left. Okay, so they're fucking around, no big deal. 3 a.m. rolls around. I wake up needing to pee. No need to walk to the restrooms this time. I'll just walk off into the woods a bit. As I walk back after my piss, I hear the distinct sound of a tent zipper opening. In the darkness, I can tell it's my friend. Then I can barely see, but definitely hear him zip it back up. As I get closer to the tent, I see him more clearly, and he walks a bit. He goes to light a cigarette. I can see his face in the flint strikes of the lighter, even clearer when it manages to catch. Lincoln, lay down. Hey, Lincoln, don't do that. He lights a cigarette, takes a puff, and says, "Can you hear me?" "Me? Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?" Again, much louder this time. "Can you hear me?" "Me? Yeah, you trying to wake everyone up?" He kind of shakes his head at me, then turns and walks toward the cars, maybe 30 feet away from him. Thinking I'm being fucked with again, I go to follow. Lose him behind a car. I turn the corner of it, and he is nowhere to be seen. I'm pissed. He thinks he's so funny. So I go back to his tent. It's still closed, and I can hear him faintly snoring inside it. I don't know what it was I saw exactly, but it looked, sounded, and walked just like my friend. I was slightly inebriated, but not enough to hallucinate. He denies he ever left his tent or went through the woods ahead of me. Whoa. Well, interesting. And that's the kind of crap that, you know, I'm talking about. Like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you always, yeah. It's always that stuff you can't quite put your ear or your eyes and your finger on, but yet you still know, and you're just like, "What? This is always weird shit," you know. And see, I'm one of those people that smokes, so I'm always getting out of my tent, you know, at night or whatever. And it's pretty weird. That one time I went to, I floated down the Rio Grande once. This was a really, 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 really cool. We floated the Rio Grande. I think it was like a 2-week thing. And every night we would pull our canoes up, and we would pitch a tent, make our food, you know, hang out in the complete darkness. One night we were laying there, and it was complete. I mean, that's when Hail Bob was going over. It was really cool. But man, we were sitting there, we were going to sleep, and all of a sudden you hear this thundering. Thundering. The ground started to shake, and it was real faint for a minute, and I was like, "What the hell is that?" And I mean, then it was just boom, 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 boom. And then, man, I mean, all of a sudden, it was just all around us. Just this mad, like, thunder, but like a train was going. And man, it was a pack of wild horses running through our tent. And I mean, dude, running through our campsite. And it was so amazingly, well, it was wild, man. Of course, you know, the way it was I mean, like, there could have been, I don't know, 50, 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many more, but man, it was pretty crazy. That was a really cool experience to have. I've never seen wild horses, and man, that was pretty wild. Hang on, I have a dog bark. Okay, hang on, sorry.
What,
Megan?
There you go. There you go. Go get it.
There you go. Oh, that. Oh, he didn't do well, did it? Oh. No. All right. I was playing. Megan, stop doing that. Okay. Look here, boy, I'm not sure you know what's going on, but I gotta find this if I can out, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. Well, I can't find him. Thank you, Lincoln, for, yeah. I love my dog. All right, our next story from Magna Punk. Okay. Can confirm the PNW and NorCal have some spooky woods. I'm from way further south and never felt creeped out in my home woods, where the only things I worried about were rattlesnakes and spider bites. I was in the middle of nowhere in the woods in NorCal one night and saw a row of lights in the sky. The people I was with called me out and said, "Hey, you're the logical one. Give us some reasons for this." So I did. I said, "What about a plane?" But no, the light pattern, they were way off. "What about a military plane or stealth bomber?" Nope, wrong shape. "What about a drone?" Nope, too high up. And it was silent. "A satellite?" Nope, not the right shape and not quite far enough away. The lights were very, very high up. And when I borrowed binoculars, I saw that the lights were in a succession of rainbow coloring, like an LED light that fades in and out. Huh. It suddenly shot off, left, right, then directly upwards and disappeared. I had no explanation, and neither did my group. We were stunned. I went out crystal hunting with two friends in the PNW several years back and ended up lost for a while. The path down the mountain we were on was pretty straightforward, but somehow I got drawn out into a thicket of rings of trees near a very camouflaged cliffside. What was weird, though, was everything felt very heavy, and I heard giggling all around me right around the time I lost the path. Ooh. Thankfully, my phone worked, and I was able to direct my voice to my friends after calling to tell them what happened. I walked up to them after hearing their voices, and when we went to get back on the trail, they couldn't find it. Here's the thing, though. They're both experienced hikers, campers, outdoors people. I hadn't strayed off more than 20 feet, and they were right near other crystal hunters on the base of a mountain. I heard those people too, but when we came back up, there was nothing. My friends navigated us down the mountain regardless, and we ended up all the way back to the main road. One of the friends said she heard the giggling too and just didn't want to say anything until we got out of the area. It was spooky. We almost felt like we'd been chased off the mountain. That is pretty. There's nothing more like giggling in the middle of the night when you can't. That's what I have Lincoln and Billy for. Go get him, Lincoln. You guys should see what Lincoln looks like right now. I think he's pretty pissed off right now. Hey, That's not nice, Lincoln. I know. I am pretty boring. Well, thank you, Link. All right. Oh, man. I hope everybody is having... I don't know. Also, on the why I'm thinking about it, if there's anything, you know, about my pod that would make this more, you know, for your listening pleasures, leave it in the comments, and let me know, even if it's something you, like, you know, Joey, shut up, I hate your voice, you know, anything, any feedback, always helps, so please leave any comments, and let me know what would make this better, or if it can be better. I don't, you know, I'm not even sure. Yeah. That way, I can, not completely bore you or just, you know, kill people with my annoying voice. Alright, anyway. Okay, moving on. From Strike Eagle 784. Not me, but a family member back in Arizona claims to have had a run-in with a Wendigo. Ooh, I did it there. Ooh, yeah. He was camping in the woods near Flagstaff when in the middle of the night, he heard some strange noises coming from the woods. When he woke up the next morning, he found some strange marks on his body that weren't there the previous day. Someone he knew claimed that he was attacked by a Wendigo as a result, since apparently the area has been known to have Wendigo sightings. Oh. I did a little short thing on the Wendigo, I don't know, a week or so, a couple weeks ago. That sounds like one of those, cryptid, whatever, whatever things that I don't ever want to. That's like the nightmare thing. It's like the weird humanoid looking, like, I don't know. It just doesn't. Now, again, this is all comes from what I've seen on, you know, I know, not like I know the, I got me and Wendigo and have dinner, you know, with his family every night. I'm just saying that. I'm from that, yeah, different, if you watch YouTube or look at it, and it's pretty. See, I just don't think that everybody is, I mean, you know, bullshit. I just don't think it's all bullshit. I think that people, I know that some people probably experience like different things and whatever, but man, I'll never down anybody or say anything because, I mean, for one, it's not, I'm not, you know, if you're not there, you can't really say, you know, but again, I believe, everything kind of, and yeah, basically everything. So anyway, sorry, Matt, moving on. This from Ghostwood 7. Okay. Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016, 1:40 p.m., the Siege of Vicksburg Battlefield. After arriving in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and checking in at my hotel, I decided to go on a tour of the battlefield. I paid my $12 and drove through the gates. On either side of me were statues, plaques, and stone engravings with names, dates, ranks, and other important data. I was behind the Union lines. As I was driving slowly through the park, I came to a Civil War cannon. I decided to get out of the car and get some photos of it. It was just outside a thicket of trees and brush aiming towards enemy lines. After turning on my camera, I looked up at the thicket of trees and froze. There, just to my right, a few yards away, was a Union soldier. He was wearing blue and carried a rifle, and I could see right through him. He took a step and vanished. He did not seem to be aware of me. I dictated all the facts into my iPhone because I couldn't get online that night. This is the first battlefield ghost I've ever seen, as well as my first residual ghost. Wow. Yeah, see, I I believe in it. I totally believe that. I went to the battlefield of like Pea Ridge, I think it was Arkansas. I didn't see anything like whatever, but man, it was cool to see, everything. It was really cool. There's so many stories of people seeing, things like that. But I've not myself ran into that. I don't know. They're really cool, to go to. I've heard so many stories about those, So the next on from Weird Temperature 7. I lived in a van in New Zealand for a while. Popped out during the night to walk to the toilets a 100 mile away through a fairly dense pine forest. The moon was bright enough that I didn't need the torch to get there. It's not like there's anything dangerous to look out for. On the way back, I caught something out of the corner of my eye. I shined from the big green eyes about 8 feet off the ground, staring at me from the dark of the woods. After freezing for a moment, I dug my torch out of my pocket and shone it at the eyes. To see the fattest possum you've ever seen sat on a branch stuffing its face. That's pretty good, man. I tell you, that is, that's pretty funny. I ran into similar situations like that for sure. That's pretty good. On to the next one, Eggs Benedict. As in spelled D-I-A-C-K. This is my dad's story, but when I was a kid in the 60s, he was in Boy Scouts and would go camping with his troop in the Appalachian Mountains. One night, after having fallen asleep in his tent, he woke up standing alone a few feet away from a sheer drop. It was still dark, and he had no flashlight or gear. Not even shoes. He had to find his way back to the campsite by the moonlight. When he got back, no one had realized he was gone. He says that if he hadn't woken up when he did, he would have stepped right off the cliff, and that no one would have known what happened to him. Wow, man, that is actually pretty. There's a big, people always are like, what happened to certain people? There's a huge disappearance in people. If you ever, that 411 stories are super cool. Check those out if you haven't, but that's something I wondered about, like sleepwalkers or people that get up in the middle, disappear like that, that's pretty creepy. Walking off of, yeah, oh man. Next one from Quentin Stark. All right. My friends and I used to camp a lot in the El Dorado National Forest. We had a spot along Sopiago Springs. We used to camp at a lot. I don't know if I said that. One weekend, we decided to go for a 3-day foraging camp. We brought in MREs in case we couldn't find anything, some guns, and some supplies to set up shelter. But that's about it. First night was chill. We cooked a bunch of crawdads and a squirrel my buddy shot, drank a few beers we'd brought, and slept fine. Next day, something fell off to me. One of my friends who was with me and I had some really creepy experiences in this part of the forest in the past, and it felt a bit like those. Forest was dead silent, and you felt like something was watching you. I grew up in the woods, so I know the signs of a predator, but this felt different than a bear or a mountain lion. When night fell, my friends went 200 yards or so up the stream to do some stuff, and I was alone in camp. The feeling got even stronger, so I built up the fire nice and big and grabbed a gun. I kept hearing faint voices from the woods in the opposite direction of where my friends went. They were a low, indistinct sound, but they were creepy. They were creeping me out majorly, and my buddies had taken the only two flashlights. Poor planning in hindsight. As I peered into the darkness, I caught a glimpse of something moving 50 yards or so in the trees. I snapped the rifle to my shoulder and got the scope on it. It was pretty dark, and the only light was from the fire, but I could see the outline of what it was, what I was aiming at. It looked human, but was on all fours, and its arms seemed a lot longer than they should. It stood a bit like an ape, but very low to the ground. I only saw it for a second before it loped off deeper into the woods. After I lost track of it, I'd hear light rustling in different directions around the camp. Leaves scuffing, the occasional twig breaking, always away from where my friends went, in the 180 other side of the woods, the camp of their departure. I got the sense that whatever it was stalking me. I kept the fire high and was staying sharp looking into the woods, but I didn't see it again. My buddies came back about 10 minutes later to find me in a paranoid wreck glassing the tree line with the scope. I told them what happened and they got quiet. Then told me the reason they came back when they did is they started hearing the same shit I did over by where they were standing, and it spooked them. We spent the second night of our trip with a big ass fire and three lookouts. Nobody slept that night. In the morning, we broke camp as quick as we could and hightailed it out of there. We never camped in that spot again. That one makes sometimes not want to. Yeah. Still always so cool. All right. I've got to take a short break, but I won't leave you with nothing. So here we go. Actually, what I need to do is finish something from yesterday, so I will. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Hoppinsville Alien Goblin. I did the first kind of part of the story, and on my breaks I put these on. This is the kind of second half of that story. It's the Hoppinsville Alien Goblin, the full documentary. Anyway, so I will be right back. Let you guys listen to that for just a minute. Don't go anywhere. This is a cool story.
To clone these ancient humans. You could even create some kind of Jurassic Park filled with people. Except it would be called Anthropocene Park. And based on all that you put together about our tragic history, there would be so many entertaining things to do in this amusement park. Maybe you could clone other animals and play a game of mass extinction. The winner would be the one who could kill the most species in the shortest amount of time. You could dig for hidden oil reserves, increase carbon emissions for fun to watch icebergs melt, or how about a game of nuclear war? Sadly though, you and the other scientists probably wouldn't be able to figure out what life was like for humans at the end of our civilization. It's the oldest question on Earth. Where did we come from? Some people may think the creator from above, but what if the hand that created humanity wasn't divine?
Okay.
What if aliens brought life to Earth? How could a meteor carry life to our planet? Microbes survive the cold vacuum of space.
Come on, we'll be together.
Man, does alien life already exist on Earth? Is what if, and here's what would happen, if aliens brought life to Earth. When you think of aliens, your imagination might run wild with movie scenes and X-Files reruns, but technically, an alien includes anything not from Earth. And that broad definition opens up some intriguing possibilities. In 2017, astronomers detected a mysterious chunk from an exoplanet that entered our solar system. Called Oumuamua, this interstellar object is made from nitrogen ice, the perfect radiation shield for an organism that might be hitching a ride. After all, if this pancake-shaped rock can keep its ice formation while flying through the galaxy, then maybe life can not only exist beyond the solar system, but also travel frozen in space. But if an object like this slammed into Earth, would the organisms survive the impact? When our solar system was still forming, the chunk of rock that would become Earth floated around completely unprotected from meteors and asteroids. If an object like Oumuamua had landed on Earth during that time, it would have brought microbes and other organisms from deep space. This is called the panspermia theory, which states that matter from surrounding planets or objects from deep space might have brought life to Earth. But how could we test this theory? Researchers aboard the International Space Station found that bacteria survived on the panels outside the station. Even the extreme temperatures of space didn't kill the bacteria. What's that proof? Well, if a spacecraft left from Mars with microbial life attached, those microbes could survive the trip to Earth. But let's go back to the early days of Earth. Almost 4 billion years ago, Earth went through a bombardment period. During this time, powerful meteor showers regularly rocked the surface of our world. Several objects the size of Oumuamua, 800 meters long, crashed into the Earth. So if there were microbes deep within those meteors, they might have been cushioned from the impact. And that's pretty impressive, considering meteors travel at speeds of up to 100 kilometers per second. And during that chaotic time, life began springing up all over Earth. After all, bacteria can thrive in temperatures as high as 100 degrees, or be preserved at -196 degrees. So, if those meteors had contained microbial life, it would have survived the impact and possibly planted the seeds of life. But how could we know if alien life is already here?
formaldehyde is floating out there in space, waiting for a carrier to bring it to a world like ours. But maybe it's already here. Amino acids and sugars, the building blocks of life, come in two versions that mirror each other. We call this phenomenon chirality, and we refer to the versions as left and right. But on Earth, all life contains left-handed shaped amino acids and right-handed shaped sugars. And that's unusual, as scientists creating amino acids in a lab would make half of them left-handed and half right-handed. So single shapes in amino acids and sugars could be an evolutionary function, or they could be an extraterrestrial influence. You know, what if life came to Earth from outside our solar system in a rock or on the bottom of an alien's foot? It's hard to ignore this theory when we think about our place in the universe. But what if our planet has spread life in the same way? What if ancient life escaped Earth? Well, that's a story for another.
Ow.
Researchers have detected strange radio signals coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Explore this question further using fact-based information. The conclusions may be startling. Is Earth in the process of being invaded? Do governments of the world know about it? And are we all doomed to be pawns in their alien agenda? A multitude of unique minerals, life, and liquid water. Most of this could be obtained by any space-faring species from other planets and asteroids throughout the galaxy. However, liquid water and life are apparently rare. We have both. There are a plethora of living beings on Earth, from simple amoeba to humans. 75% of the Earth is covered with liquid water. Our world has an atmosphere and temperature to sustain a variety of species, as long as they are carbon-based and as long as they breathe oxygen. This makes the Earth a perfect target. Any species looking to colonize, conquer, or explore would fight. find our Earth irresistible. It's a one-stop shop for everything you would need. Though we do not take care of it as well as we should, it is our only home, and we depend on its resources for our own existence. Mm. Other worlds may have water in the form of ice, but an alien species would have to expend their own resources to mine.
That's the problem.
Steel and turn the ice into drinkable water. The same is true with any minerals they may need. Why expend your own resources when it's here and ready to exploit? Why gather it yourself?
Would anybody else? I wouldn't, see. But I, you know, I would be ready for that.
Why go looking for it across a vast galaxy, searching planet to planet for everything you need when you come here and easily get anything your species may require? No matter what level of intelligence you are, what resource you use, and there is one constant in the universe, and that is the easy way is always the best. Work smarter, not harder. As humans throughout history, we have done the exact same thing. Our species expanded to cover every inhabitable continent on this earth. We have enslaved, conquered, had our slaves fight and do work, and wiped out all cultures and nations during our growth. We ourselves have been the aliens in a new world, spreading out, colonizing, killing, and ultimately controlling various populations around the planet. And we continue to do it. If they have something we want, we take it and push them out into reservations or work, exterminate them. So why would we think they are any different from us? After all, we are an intelligent species and a space-faring race as well. We are competitive, resourceful. All right, well, so that is the story that I played the first part of it yesterday. If you want to check it out, it's the Hopkinsville, the Alien Goblin story. That's one I've never really heard of. You can check it out though. It's on YouTube. That's a cool story. I mean, you know, it's like, I think all these stories are cool, but that's just me. I hope that I don't bore you with those. Anyway, moving on. And like I said, if anybody has any stories, please call in if you want me to tell them, email me, jshaddy1977@gmail.com. Or that's jshaddy, jshaddy1977@gmail.com or dirtnap1977@gmail.com. I will get your emails and I will read them if you want to call in and tell them. I love hearing them. Especially if you want to call in, I love hearing people, you know, tell me their stories. But if you would like for me to read them, Lincoln, you cannot go out there. Oh.
I mean, it's like, he's one of those, I tell you. Lincoln, come here, boy. Come on. Hi, Lincoln. Hi there, Bubba. Hi. He's bad because we didn't fix you up. No, don't, Lincoln. All right. Moving on. This one from... Okay. I was like, oh, God. No. Well, anyway, so... That's about to our hour point. I want to say thank you all again. Please follow, if you haven't yet, hit the follow button, hit the like button. Please leave any comments. And, if you want me to tell your story, email me at jshaddy1977@gmail.com. That is jshaddy1977@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. I let you guys have a wonderful day, wonderful evening, and I hope to hear from everybody. Have an awesome, awesome day, a wonderful afternoon, and I will hear from everybody soon. Thank you much. Oh, and welcome. Thank you for joining. Cryptids and other mysteries. Thank you guys.